Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY.
Richard.
Hello.
It's all going wrong, my friend. It's all going wrong. Wakefield, they ain't no good.
You remember on that hilarious Monday when I got Hunslet's colours completely wrong and said they've put a sign up outside Bellevue. It says, "Welcome to Bellevue, home of Super League's entertainers." And entertainers they have since, with 8 straight defeats and conceding loads of points. Everyone at Warrington enjoying themselves. A point a minute. Roll up, come watch some hilarious defending, or so I'm told. Because I wasn't there, so I can't comment.
Gary Schofield, we have got a bet next week, struck on this show about 3 weeks ago, that says Wakefield would lose to Halifax. You said Wakefield will not lose to Halifax. You were willing to put up a forfeit. That forfeit is yet to be decided. It'll be decided tonight at RL on RY. We'll let the crowd decide. They're going to get beat next week.
Well, how can I put up a debate? You can tell them with the tone of my voice, Mr. Wilson. I'm a little bit worried.
You are a little bit worried.
I am.
80 points to nil, is that acceptable?
I am a little bit worried. Let me just say this. Last 4 games, Wakefield. Wigan, 52-10. Catalans, 40 points to 4. Leeds, 48-22. And by the way, Leeds, 48 points. If Leeds wanted to play for 80 minutes, they could have quite easily got 80 to 90 points themselves. And Warrington, as we all know, with that pathetic, spineless performance on Saturday, 80-0. So in my calculations, that works out at 220 points to 36 scored. So over 4 games, that works out 55 to 9. Well, Mark Wilson, let me just tell you this. Regarding players, if they don't want to play for the coach, tell the coach. And then if I was the coach, I would say to the players, well, listen, if you don't want to be here, because let me just, I'm sending out a message here to these Wakefield players. You're very lucky, some of you players, to be playing Super League, because you're at Wakefield Trinity, because no other Super League club wants you. And I can reassure you, there's clubs, there's players at the Championship clubs who would love the opportunity of playing Super League and good enough to be playing Super League. And what you players are doing at Wakefield is realistically just taking the mickey out of the chairman, out of the supporters. And when you look at that performance, how the hell the next home game, which I believe is Wigan, because it has a bearing on all the club, from the marketing, from the retail. How would some players this morning like to be a commercial manager, like to be the commercial guy, to go on and ask sponsors to take a table for 10, take a table of 4, to spend the hard-earned money to watch that rubbish, what they are turning out? And you get a coach as well saying, we're realistic now, we're not bothered for the rest of the season because it doesn't matter. Pathetic, spineless, and you Wakefield Trinity players, hold your head in shame. The performance is what you are putting out. Supporters, don't blame the chairman, because Michael Carter is doing his damn best to bring you the best what he can do on his resources down there at Bellevue. So you players, I'm telling you, get your finger out, because people deserve better and they deserve more.
Phil Kaplan, we've not heard from you for 5 minutes.
I couldn't get a word in.
What do you make of Scully's statement?
I can't really argue with it. What I would say is there has been some refreshing honesty to come out of Wakefield, which I do admire, from the coach and from the chairman. Nothing is happening that around the table, even doing our predictions at the beginning of the season, is unexpected. If anything, Wakefield overachieved in the first 2 games. Cass may have taken them lightly in the last 10 minutes and they stole a march on them. Hull KR weren't the cohesive unit that they've gone on to become. But Wakefield's problems were there before a ball was kicked this season. Nothing has changed. The squad isn't deep enough. The salary cap isn't spent to the full. The ground is crumbling. All of the things that mitigate against running a successful Super League team were there before a ball was kicked. The structure means that promotion and relegation these days is not who finishes bottom. It's a little bit more complicated than that. And you know that if you're not going to make the top 8, and even Michael Carter has almost candidly stated before a ball was kicked that their aim was not necessarily to make the top 8. They would have taken it, but actually it's to avoid relegation. Then those 7 games, 23 rounds in, become what you are focusing on. The interesting thing about this week is how do they view the Challenge Cup? Because if the whole sole focus is keeping the club in Super League, and the one thing I really do admire about Michael Carter is that right from the very beginning he said in past regimes that money has been spent that they haven't got. He is not going to do that. He's going to safeguard the club. He's not going to spend for the sake of it. There's an additional problem that Wakefield have got. Some players won't sign for them on the basis of the fact that previous regimes have not honoured their contracts in the way that they would have hoped they would be. So they're behind the eight ball before they start. But what do they do about the Challenge Cup? The further they go in it, the more it harms their chances of being ready for the middle eight. They're going to have to play a midweek game if they progress. That's another Easter for a club that can't handle an Easter. So I think it does have implications on playing Halifax, but actually I think that's the least of their problems at the moment.
Yeah, but surely, Phil, you know, you're coming up with the scenarios there for the reasons why Wakefield, I guess, appointed you from poor. But did you see some of the efforts from the players on Saturday with some of that pathetic attempts at tackling, the pathetic attempts of starting to stop yardage from Warrington? And to be honest with you, I've got a 2-year-old grandson who would have made a better effort with a bit of infusion. At least he'd have got in the way and they may have fallen over. You know, In today's era, in rugby league, but also too in sport, you know, we can't keep making excuses for players. They've got to start taking responsibility. And Michael Carter's absolutely right. The players have to take responsibility for that performance because at the end of the day, it's seeming as though they couldn't care less.
I think there is something else that we will speak about, and I think it affected every single game this weekend, and that is this third game in a week at Easter.
Well, I don't buy into it.
It's more as well to do with the fact that if you've got a thin squad, this is the time of year that absolutely finds you out.
But also as well, though, OK...
And it's quality of juniors.
You mentioned a thin squad there, but still, Wakefield put 17 players out there on Saturday.
Yep.
They could have done far better than what they did with their enthusiasm and with the commitment commitment to that club.
And this is a cruel sport, and if a team gets on a roll, you can rack up a lot of points. But you look at somebody like Declan Patton that came into the Warrington team, who's been itching for a chance and looks as though he can play at that level. And Wakefield are not putting some guys in from their under-19s because they genuinely do not think they're physically... Tom Johnson looks a good winger, but they won't play him at the moment because they don't think he's ready.
But also, as well, when you looked at Warrington coming into this game against Wakefield, they were on the back of four defeats themselves.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if Warrington were in red-hot form and thinking, oh, well, we're going there again, we may get a good battering.
And for 20 minutes, Wakefield were OK. But to concede the level of points they did in 60 minutes would be a worry. But I do think that if you set out at the start of the season that your priority is towards the end of it, we shouldn't be surprised.
OK. Jack's been on Twitter, at RL on RY. Very pertinent point. I wish they'd have told me it didn't matter when I bought a season ticket. I think he's every right, Rich. They're your club. We laugh and joke about it. That's got to hurt, hasn't it? 80 points to nil.
I have seen enough poor players play for Wakefield in the last, what, went into Super League in 1999, 16 years, that there have been far worse players play for that club than are at that club right now. You look at that team in 2001 that John Harbin put together, probably on a lower budget than this, and managed to scrape, avoiding relegation. Well, that's the season he got points deducted for breaking the salary cap the season before. You look at Wakefield over their Super League life and the way that club has been run disgracefully, and people go on forums and go on Facebook and go on Twitter and call out Michael Carter. I'm not here to blow smoke up the backside of Michael Carter. Met him in this studio, nice fella, appreciate the job he's done for the club. Throwing money at, you know, in a bin. He would have got a better return for it. He wouldn't have got the hassle. People want him to you know, throw money that he hasn't got at a club to get the club back into the mess it's been in time and time again over the last 15 years. Those people are idiots.
But why would he throw money in? On the basis of the fact that the average crowd is 3,000.
He was in this studio last year and said, if we get crowds of 6,500, we can spend the full salary cap. People didn't turn up. The club's not spending the full salary cap. The club is bottom of the league, and that's why. If they want to go back to the era of having someone sell us stuff, you know, you can sell people hype when you're selling double glaze and it don't work in rugby league. You can sell people dreams, but if you don't follow through on them, it ain't happening. Michael, what has Michael Carter bought when he bought the club? nothing because they don't own the ground. They own nothing but a name, which means nothing these days. And, you know, some pens and some paper.
One thing I think Gary's right on, though, is that there aren't that many players missing. I mean, you look at the team that played against Warrington. Mm. There aren't too many squad numbers. There's a couple of centres and a couple of props out. But name me a team that doesn't have players out at the moment. But they can't rotate them because they've nobody to bring in. And this, again...
Yeah, but we talk about rotation, all this sort of thing.
Tim Smith can't play three games in a week.
In today's all sport, at the end of the day, you know, players should just want to be playing because, as I've said before, certainly from my experience as a player, you know, I found training boring. I would have rather played than trained. But going back to what Richard's saying there, and how do Wakefield now turn this around from the comment what's being made? Well, realistically, now we're not really bothered until round 24. So how do Wakefield turn this around? And I'm not into psychology, but how do you turn this around now for the players to play to the best of their ability to turn that around there? And then also as well, as I've mentioned, from a commercial point of view, Michael Carter being the chairman, and I'm sure he has commercial managers there. I know my son works down there in the retail department. How do they turn that around to try and get supporters through the gates and then also to sell all the corporate, what because it's quite good down there, the corporate. How do they turn it around when they're not bothered while round 24?
But how could they honestly say, keep coming because we're going to be competitive, when they know that they're not?
Well, I think you can.
I think there's some refreshing honesty, and I think it exposes a flaw in the new structure, which was never going to be perfect, but we all said right at the beginning, there'll come a point in the season, it might have come earlier than we thought for Wakefield, where clubs will have to decide how they're going to approach a batch of games that theoretically don't matter.
Phil, you know as well as I do, because you've been watching the game long enough, and as we all have, if supporters are seeing the commitment and the 100% from the players, even though they're getting beat week in and week out, they will come back and they will support you, home and away. But now, it's as if they've given in after what, round 10 are we past now? Round 9, round 10. So the next 13 games, we couldn't care less because we're waiting until the figure. If supporters can see you put it in week in and week out, but you're getting beat by better teams, they will come back and watch you.
Captain of Wakefield is a player who I would never question his integrity, Danny Kermond. What happens if he's playing busted and injured at the moment? What do you do as a coach?
Do you say, pull him out the other week because he's that injured? Go and have your operation.
So he's playing because there's nobody else to bring in, which is the point I'm making about if you don't have enough money, you don't have a depth of squad, you don't have the under-19s to bring in. But what do you do? Do you now say to Danny Kermond and be honest with the fans, go away for 4 weeks, have your operation, have your rest, because we actually really need you back for round about round 20 when we need to start getting a bit of traction before they split into the eights? If you haven't got the bodies and you're playing people busted, that's worse.
And this is where saying, oh, we've got to get rid of James Webster and bring in a different coach. Who's there to bring in? It's all right going on and bringing a list of ex-players who were related to the club. Jason Demetriou, why is he going to leave a job in Australia to come here? And are you going to pay him to do so?
But I think, isn't it obvious that there is a feeling that within the club that Jared Sammet probably doesn't fit the way they want to play? No matter what the supporters play, so they're playing him at fullback because they have not got another option. But deep in their hearts, they know he's not for them at the moment and the way they want to play. But he's played the last three games. Mm-hmm. What do you do if that's all you've got?
We've got a dual reg agreement with London. You saw them yesterday. Can we bring some players in from London?
Well, I think they showed a bit more backbone than you.
I'll tell you what, Jamie Fackridge showed a bit of backbone, don't worry about that. He looked quite impressive taking the ball up and also too offloading at the time. But also as well, just going back to Wakefield, James Webster, I think the comment what he has made, you know, by saying, well, every minute now doesn't count for us, I think that's been a very, very unprofessional comment, you know, don't you? Because it's just realistic.
No, I admire his honesty.
I admire his honesty, but I don't think he should have said it in public. Right.
I can see him getting a letter from the governing body. See, the problem is every minute is never going to matter. It doesn't matter in...
Yeah, but we expected that maybe in round 20, not in round 10.
But it's a slogan that at some point was going to bite the powers that be. In every sport you've ever watched, every minute cannot matter. That's the unpredictability of sport. If they'd have said, and I was thinking about this overnight, what should they have said other than every minute matters? They should have said more minutes matter.
Alliteration.
Because they've been hoisted by their own petard by saying every minute matters, because it can't and it never will.
I tell you what, though, whatever slogan you put on it, it still doesn't, you know, for that pathetic performance on Saturday, any slogan still doesn't. I've turned you off now.
What I'm telling you is, OKR lost 82-6 to Wigan at Easter 2 years ago. What do you say about that?
Well, Wigan, I guess, were a far better team, simple as that.
So Wigan were better, but well, Warren were far better than Wakefield. Yeah, what was the difference?
Warren had been boring, well, on a losing run going into that game.
I think he's seen it,
after that game,
forget the eight, Neil, you've just got eight straight defeats.
Neil Hutchell himself says, well, you know, we can't compete with the best, and you are going to get one of players in a pinch of money, aren't they? They're quite simple. They're not good enough then, are they? It's as simple as that. But hold on here, let's have a look at the last four games. Conceded 220 points and only scored 36. 55 points to 9 over four games. Matt Wilson, do me a favour, please.
So what? Where are these players?
Switch off again.
If we're talking about the under-19s, why aren't they ready? Why aren't they ready to come through? Or where are these players?
Because there's been no investment in them, and that's part of the problem. That is the structural issue.
One second.
And you cannot attract a quality of youngster if a club is not properly run. I just looked at the team on Easter Monday and the team that played at Warrington. There's one change.
You can't keep going with the same players. The best young
Samet, Riley, yeah. Paul, Arundel, Owen, yeah. Miller, Smith, Simon, McShane, Griffin, all right, Kermond, Washbrook, Smith, all established Super League players.
And all bar Simon played on the Monday. They haven't got the ability to swap and change.
I don't know what the answer is.
Look at Warrington yesterday, and they are starting to bring in some young kids who can handle it.
Toby King, who was in the studio,
bought in Toby King, they bought in Gene Ormsby back, they gave Declan Patton a debut. They can rotate, and they don't lose a lot, because you look at the under 19 leagues over the past few years. Wigan, Warrington, St Helens and Leeds have been the ones that have dominated it. Who are the clubs that can bring juniors in who look ready-made, even if it's only for a couple of games, and withdraw them? Wakefield cannot do that. The two men who were in their 19-man squad yesterday who didn't play, Jordan Crowther and Tom Johnson, they obviously feel they're not ready. Otherwise, they'd have played them.
Rich, are you concerned about your club? Is it in good hands? I'm going to tell you, Michael Carter's doing a good job.
Off the field, yes,
but
certainly.
He cannot have his coach coming out making statements like that. Scotty's got it on the head. Why are you going to pay 24 quid, whatever it is, to go watch him spanked by Wigan? Why are you going to do it?
This is why it winds me up when people are talking about Carter and what he should and shouldn't do. I've lived through enough eras in the last 16 years in Super League where it's been run as a shambles. As a working men's club, trips are run better than Wakefield has been in the last 16 years, because they've had amateurs in the positions where you need professionals. And it's been like that for years. The best signing Carter made was Kath Hetherington.
Shall I tell you why they should turn up? Sick relative syndrome. It's very, very easy to jump on the bandwagon of a team that are winning every week. If you really, genuinely support your club, you go when the times are the toughest.
Yes, it might
go down to a base 2,500-3,000, but you've got to build from that. And those 2,500-3,000 will know that the money they're putting in is going to build the best squad they can. Unfortunately, it's not going to compete with a squad where you're getting 15,000-20,000 in every
week. Supporters won't go and watch Dross. It's as simple as that.
They'll go watch commitment,
but they will not go watch Dross, and that is what Wakefield are putting up. At Catalans, you know, I was speaking to some Wakefield fans who I know through my work, and he was just saying, Scott, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing, you know, when there was 40 points and Chris Riley scored the last minute against the Catalans there, you know, but people will come and pay good money, Phil, if they are showing effort and commitment.
I agree.
What they are producing at this moment in time, and is it going to get any better? Well, All of the players themselves can answer that. I don't think so.
I still go back to the... Some of them are unquestionably underperforming, but they have better reputations than they're showing on the field. But there are a lot of them that are playing busted because they cannot bring anybody in.
I'll tell you what, a question I'd like to put out to some of them Wakefield... Well, all the Wakefield players tonight, and if you're listening, get yourself on Twitter or whichever social media you're on, get yourself on. I'm asking you the question, you Wakefield players. Do you care about performing at your best of your ability week in and week out for the Wildcats? Because at the moment, you couldn't care less.
Strong stuff. I think that's a harsh statement, knowing some of them guys like we do. I can't wait until I have to ask for another Wakefield guest to come on this show. I'm sure I'll get the short
If Mr. Carter's listening, because I know that sometimes he does.
He does.
He's a friend of the show.
But he knows we support him.
I support Michael Carter. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt.
But if he wants to justify what the club are going through, I think we'd love to hear from him.
And the best thing he's done recently is get off social media, because it's never right for people at the top to mix with the fans, because bad words will be said and there's no filter.
Jack Knife has been on in respect to Scoey's forfeit when, or if, Wakefield lose to Halifax next week. He said you should play it standoff against Wigan the week after.
Well, I'll tell you what,
I think that could be a goer, because I could play it scrum half and just give you some nice looping passes for you to catch.
You mean loopy, but you mean you want me to get creamed?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
We're supposed to be on the same team.
Well, yeah, we are.
Actually, I know Sean Wayne pretty well, so I could, mention Sean, listen, I'm pulling a 20-minute stint here today, so just tell the lads to take it easy. I know what I will do. I will just do exactly like Campese doing it at Hunkingston Rovers. Marshall my troops, get it first man, 10 yards away, nice passing, vary the passing, kick, good chase. I'll tell you what, Score, you'll win the game for Wakefield against Wigan. Why not?
Ryan Hampshire scores a hat-trick in that one.
We just reminisce about yesterday. We were live at the Providence Stadium, Oddsall, London, the visitors to Bradford.
It was cold, wasn't it?
It was a bit cold, yeah. but you told us a tale of when you played three games in 3 days over one weekend. Washed it down with a few pints and a Chinese, you told me. You got to tell us now what you did.
Absolutely. Well, it was a Friday night, we played Wigan at Central Park. And then, of course, in them days, as we know, we never complained about being tired. We never complained about the ice, because we loved it in our lager after the game. Don't worry about that, boys. But on the Friday night, we played at Central Park. And then the following day, we was playing Workington. So after the game at Central Park, after a few pints in the bar, a few drinks on the bus going up to Workington the Friday night, we played Workington on the Saturday afternoon. After we got is a victory, we got beat at Central Park, I think it was by about 8 points. Then we played Workington on the Saturday afternoon, who were a decent team in them days. Harry Beverley knocked hell out of everybody, yours truly as well included. We managed to beat Workington, and then on the Saturday night we travelled back down to Hull after a few pints in the bar after and a few drinks on the bus coming back down to Hull from Workington. And on the Sunday afternoon we played Hunslet at the Boulevard, and yes, it was good. Good journeys, a few weeks after, but one thing for sure, we put the commitment in and we never complained about being tired from a point of view of playing and also to the travelling, because travelling from Hull to Central Park to Workington, Workington back down to Hull and playing, what, 3 games in 72 hours? It's not a bad achievement whatsoever.
I think there is a difference. In those days, was part-time. Training consisted of Tuesdays and Thursdays, and probably Saturday mornings,
yes.
So to play games in the same period that you would have trained makes sense. You can handle that. Everybody's off the same playing field. Nowadays, with full-time professionalism, the intensity in training is greater than it was in any of those matches. We are an entertainment industry, and the matches that were served up in Super League yesterday, all in round 10, starting on the Thursday. Well, Friday, didn't we?
Will you put that pen down?
That's not me, by the way.
I know it's not you. Put it down.
Virtually every game in round 10 in Super League was below par. And we need to address that. It's burning out the players and it's shortchanging the fans.
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. I don't know,
The world's changed.
I fully understand that. I fully understand. But even, certainly, with a game, we wait for the Warrington. And as I say, Warrington were in no form whatsoever. We should not be having 8-0 scorelines,
no,
Phil.
We shouldn't. But this is a very cruel sport. And if you get on a roll and you don't get the ball back, you start conceding penalties, points can rack up pretty quickly. I'm more concerned about player burnout. I think we're doing the right thing with concussion. I think we're doing the right thing when it comes to trying to protect players, trying to monitor their injuries a lot better. The truth is that we're doing that and asking them to play when they're not fit as well. Something is wrong there.
Well, I'll tell you what then. We're talking about player protection and looking after players better. And as we all know what happened last week with the ranked chase scenario, and, well, we're talking about player protection, and why isn't this being outlawed then? You know, this cannonball mm-hmm. tackle, which we have mentioned on numerous occasions yeah. now on this show, and until that is outlawed, you know, quite clearly, somebody's career is going to finish. Absolutely. It's as simple as that. Absolutely. It is.
No, I agree.
You know, so...
And we're looking at stuff like that, but we're not looking at player welfare when
well,
it comes
to the
games.
Well, to be honest, that should not be looked at. That should be just banned, as
hold
simple
on
as
then,
that.
Boys, hold on. We asked Mr. Carter to come on our show. Here he is. He's listening now. Michael Carter, are you well?
I'm well, thank you. Yes, I'm good.
You've obviously... well, I don't know if you've been listening to it all or not. Everyone in this room supports what you're doing, Michael, but let's be fair, your club's coming under a bit of criticism this weekend. What have you got to say about it?
Yeah, I can fully understand that. I have been listening to the full show. I'm on my way to Keighley, actually, to play football at 8 o'clock, so I've been listening on the way up to Keighley. I think the main point for me to say, really, is that I think the context of James's statement, if you like, is he's obviously come out the back of a couple of defeats and for me has been caught up in the moment. There is no question that we are not going to try in the you know every game now up until round 23, and there's no question that we are going to try our damnedest on Friday night against Halifax, because I want to win the game. The supporters want to win the game. You know, the last thing I need is to be sat there on Saturday morning having been turned over by Halifax. You know, so I think James has been a little bit naive in what he said, but I think he's been caught on the hop a little bit. So there's no question in my mind, and having spoken to James as well today, there's no question in his mind that we're going to be trying our hardest every game this season. But there are times where we're going to have to let common sense prevail a little bit and say, you know what, we might just have to rest him this week because we're looking at next week. And I think that's just common nature. That's just where we are.
Hasn't that always been the case with every team in Super League, that they look to tailor the squad they put out to the teams that they're playing against? But how busted is your squad at the moment?
Well, I think we're getting some back this week. You know, I think hopefully Chris Anakin will be back, hopefully John Malloy will be back, and hopefully Ian Kirk will be making his debut as well this week. So that's three middle players for us that will be a welcome relief, because we've lost Jordan Hand and we've lost George Griffin. They've gone back on loan, and you know, I thank Salford and St Helens for helping us out over this last month or so. I counted our 1 to 26 I think at one point last week, and we've got 9 of those missing now. You know, I defy anybody with their 25 best players to be struggling like us with 9 of them not available. You know, our best prop on Monday at Leeds, in my opinion, was Nick Struton, who then picked up a one-match ban. And Nick's been massive for us this year. He's been a real leader for us. So, you know, it was a massive influence that was missing on Saturday. And I'm not wanting to make excuses for them. They know, as well as I do, that it simply wasn't good enough. And I've said to them, they've got to take responsibility for that themselves, because I can't play for them. James doesn't drop a pass. He doesn't miss a tackle. You know, they've got to do it for themselves. And if they've got professional pride about them, they'll want to do that. And, you know, I still firmly believe they have. I know, you know, it looks bad on Saturday and nobody can deny that. But I still think we've got enough in us to bounce back. And I'm firmly behind James, and I'm firmly behind the players we've got as well.
So, Michael, it's Scott here. So, Michael, just with a comment what James has made, and I've mentioned everybody in the club and involved in this, from a point of view from a marketing and a commercial side, and you know, your supporters themselves have been disappointed with a comment and thinking, well, there's not going to be no point turning up until round 24. So how are you going to turn it around from a point of view selling the games out now to your sponsors, and also to as well getting the supporters back on side with a comment that there ain't going to be the commitment there until we play around 24, and I'm totally behind you, mate. You're doing the best what you can, but I just felt as though with that comment, how do you get everybody back on side? You know, from a point of view, your commercial manager's phoning people up to take tables of 10, tables of 4, bringing the Sopeckis back through the turnstiles. How is it going to be turned around?
Listen, I fully appreciate your point. I think you've got a spot on point there, and I have spoken to James about that today. And James realises, I think, that, you know, as I said, I think he's just made a naive comment. You know, Phil says it's honest, and I think he probably, you know, there is an element of that as well. but it is naive, and we can't just sit here and say, you know, all right, we're going to turn up in the middle of or the end of July and we'll start playing from then. You know, sport doesn't work like that. In relation to the comment you read out earlier about a guy who says, you know, why should I have bought a season ticket? Well, I've got to be honest, if he hadn't, and the 2,000 others that hadn't bought season tickets, we wouldn't even be here. So, you know, they've got to take that on board, that I appreciate everybody that's bought a season ticket. And like I said earlier, you know, I'm trying my damnedest to make this work. I know James is as well. You know, he went up to, he had a day off on Sunday. He went up to Halifax to watch Halifax yesterday. You know, he's not just sat at home, you know, looking at his players and thinking, what am I going to do this week? You know, he's working really, really hard to try and do the best for this club, as we all are. And it's funny with the corporate, actually, because you talked about our next Super League game coming up, which is Wigan on a Thursday night, and we're actually sold out. So, you know, we've still got some things off the field working really well for us. And I made this point yesterday on another radio show, that it seems to be the Wakefield way, that we can't just get the two things happening at the same time. Good things off the field and good things on the field. You know, and we've got to strive to make that better.
How much are you suffering the legacy of the fact that there hasn't been enough investment in top quality juniors, so you can't rotate the squad in the same way that perhaps Warrington did on Saturday?
Yeah, that's massive. I mean, you know, you've got to probably go back 5 or 6 years, and that's the point where the investment should have been made, and you would have been seeing the fruits of that now. We've got three kids that have come out of our 19s at the minute: Tom Johnston, Jordan Crowder and Max Jowett, and we firmly believe they have a fine Super League future ahead of them. But it's all very well bringing a 17 or 18 year old into a Warrington or a Wigan or a St Helens, and they get carried along by international players. We don't have that luxury, and we feel in the best interest of the that we shouldn't have to be playing them week in, week out. You know, Jordan Crowder played 2 weeks on the bounce. He's just come out at 17 years old, and he's playing as a middle player. It's just not easy. I mean, I'm not a rugby league player. I'm going off the advice that I've been given. And you know, that's the reasons that I'm being told that it's just not feasible to expect a 17-year-old to mix it with an Adrian Morley or, a Jamie Peacock. It's just where we are at the minute.
I say, Michael, as well, just from the players' point of view, because I've been very hard hitting on the players, and I think rightly so as well. The players themselves, do they know how disappointing they've been, and do they know the amount of, I would say, a lot of upset they have caused with certainly the last four games, 52-10, 40 points to 4, 48-22, and obviously the 18 on the weekend. Do the players know themselves how many people they have upset, and hopefully they will take responsibility of what's happened and hopefully try and rectify that on Friday night against Halifax?
Gary, I wasn't there on Saturday, so I don't know what was said after the game. I usually go into the changing room after every game, and I've seen for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, James is coming across with the same message to him. You know, in the vast majority of games, albeit it hasn't looked like it in the last 2 or 3 weeks, or the 2 or 3 games, sorry, but, you know, the effort's been there. Salford away, the effort was there, we came up just short. St Helens at home, the effort was there. You know, St Helens were busted, but I firmly believe with one or two decisions going that our way in that game, in particular the Jordan Turner try, we could have won that game. So effort has been there. I've made my feelings clear to the players, you know, that I'm hurting and the fans are hurting. I think in fairness, you need to ask the players themselves, you know, if you could get one of the players, you know, I'm pretty sure Danny Kermont's hurting. I'm pretty sure Nick Scruton was hurting after Easter Monday at Leeds, because I spoke to Nick, you know. So I think it's very dangerous to try and pull in one band and say, you know, you don't all care, because I firmly believe that's not the case. Whether one or two of them care, I don't know. You know, ask them themselves. Certainly we're trying our hardest, and I would be very, very disappointed, both professionally and personally, if I thought that an individual player was past caring and was just picking up his money. I'd rather he were a man about it and came to see me and said, look, Michael, I really don't want to be here. Let's part terms. But will players do that? I don't know.
We've been debating the merits of these three games in a week over Easter, and we're constantly told it's the chairman that wants it because you need home games. On the basis of what you've seen over the last week, would you now support the move to only have one game over Easter?
Well, with my financial hat on, Phil, Easter was always a good period for us because we got cash. You know, whether it was home or away, if it was away, we took £2,000 to cash, £2 a ticket, we made £4,000. If we're at home, we get £6,000 to £7,000, and it's a lot of money for us. This year, we drew Catalan, who, with the greatest respect, brought 8 of 10 people. So financially, Easter was a disaster for us. And then we ended up going to Leeds on a bank holiday, and then Warrington. So, from a financial point of view, it was an absolute disaster for us. From a playing point of view, it was an absolute disaster for us. So, I'm sat here now thinking, you know what, does Easter really matter to us anymore? Probably not. But if I was sat here having drawn Leeds at home on Good Thursday or Good Friday, or Castleford at home on Good Thursday or Good Friday, I'd probably be saying, you know what, I quite like Easter. So...
But if you were to get that game on a bank holiday weekend later in the year as the reverse fixture, would that not work better? I just think that we're asking too much of the players, and in some respects, we're shortchanging the fans.
Yeah, I think there's a valid argument for that, Phil. I don't think anybody could argue against that. You know, we're going to face a similar scenario, as you've already said, when we've got to fit the rearranged full game in. And it could, you know, we could end up playing Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday again, which with the Finnish squad in Super League is obviously not going to be a great time for us. You know, and the other point I'd like to make, and I made this yesterday as well, is we're spending $1.5 million on our squad. I would bet my bottom dollar that is at least $200,000 less than any other Super League club. Now, I may be wrong on that, but I very much doubt it. And I think, you know, things like that have got to be taken into the argument as well, that we are spending what we can spend. And somebody said to me yesterday, you know, I wish it was 2012 again when we got into the top eight. Well, that season cost £800,000. And that's the reason why 16 months later, there was nearly no club. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that we need to weigh up in the argument when we're talking about where we are at this moment in time.
So, Michael, just the last question from myself. Friday night now, then, the tradition of the Challenge Cup, for mine, the biggest cup competition that obviously we've got to offer, and obviously we all know what's at stake there. Wembley, the great tradition, what Wakefield have got. Can we maybe say now, this could be now the restart of the season for Wakefield on Friday night. Great win, hopefully, against Halifax, and kick off from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I won't win. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I want to win on Friday night, and I know James does as well. We need to get our confidence levels back up. We need to get our basic rugby back up. You know, we still can't complete over 70% of our sets. So we need to get back to basics. Good completions, good kicks, good chases, good effort, good passion, good drive.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, Scully's tipping you to win, and I'm tipping you to win by 14 points. So go out there, my son, and get the job done.
I much appreciate that, mate.
Michael, thank you for coming on, pal. We appreciate that, and we appreciate your honesty. And to be fair, mate, you've got four firm supporters in this studio, pal. Thanks for ringing up.
No problem, guys.
Have a good game of football as well, by the way. Michael Carter there, the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats chairman. Well, you can't beat that. We asked him to ring up. He's rung up.
Well, he can't be any more honest, can he? Simple as that. And so, hopefully, with performances now from the Wakefield players, they will start putting some honesty in their performances.
But you also mentioned, why would Wakefield fans keep turning up? That's why. That last 20 minutes is exactly why they should keep turning up.
Yeah.
And that key point made, if you want 2012 all over again, throw some money at the club. Because you don't want to mortgage the future, because look what happened. The club was a mess because we went spending money to get into the top eight and then did nothing in it. It was a waste of time.
I'll tell you what, we if the players showed the same enthusiasm as Michael Carter, then we wouldn't be having this debate, would we?
We would.
Simple as that.
43 minutes into our show, and all we've spoken about is the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats.
Any forfeit yet? Has anybody come up with forfeit?
No, it's been quiet on Twitter, at RL.
I reckon to the fans, I'm going to throw the forfeit out. That Whoever loses, they shave the head and the bald. Well, Mr. Wilson's not far off anyway. He won't need. He doesn't need much. But
we've only just got new photos taken for the website.
He's got the Jordan Spieth haircut as Mr. Wilson. But yeah, what about the thought of having your head shaven?
I was going for the ice bath. I think one of us should have to do the ice bath. Now I can tell you don't fancy this, and given that you've got less hair than me, I don't think you're too bothered about your forfeit either.
I could grow mine back. Don't worry about that, son. But
well, so can I around the edges.
Please, I could grow mine back. And I must admit, I hate cold water, so no, let's not do the ice bath.
Right, it's out there.
It's out there to the listeners. You know, you've got, what, an hour and
get
10 minutes?
Get out there, Rich, and we'll have to do, even if it's one vote, that's what's happening.
That's what we're doing, yeah.
No, I can't shave my head.
Why not? Well, it'll take a bit of time to grow back, but...
I don't like you anymore. So I really, really don't like you.
Has it taken you 7 weeks?
7 weeks? It took me 39 years to grow this.
No, what about that you don't like me? Has it taken 7 weeks?
No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, Scully, I've got some more bad news for you anyway here on Radio Yorkshire. Because
they cancelled the Chester races.
Yeah, your invite's been rescinded. The dog's eating your ticket. I've been speaking to your mate Adam Cuthbertson today about playing for England. Let's see what he had to say. To Radio Yorkshire. He fancies it. He wants it. He wants to play for England, Scoey.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
With Mark Wilson.
A lot's been made of the fact that you could represent England, and certainly your form has added fuel to that fire. What's your stance on it?
You know, I'd love to. It'd be something just great for myself and for my family to represent, you know, my my heritage. And it's something I've thought about for a long time and always wanted to. It's just never been brought up for discussion. So, I've said in the past, I'm just trying to do my best for the Rhinos, and if that's an opportunity that comes up at the end of the year, I'll take it with both hands, because it'll be, it'd just be great. I don't really know how to put it into words.
Was it ever on your mind when you came over that could be an option? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's always been on my mind that it could be an option, but like I said, it's just never been brought up for discussion, so it's just one of those things. I've always just concentrated on my footy at club, and then those honours come up, then, like I said, it's like a great honour. So, yeah, that'd be great.
I guess the challenge for you, keep the form going, make sure people are still talking about you at the end of the season.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. You want to make sure that your name's still relevant at the end of the year. So I've just got to work harder in my game and get better each week. And if that's the case at the end of the year, then, like I said, it'll be unreal. It'll be a great opportunity.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
With Mark Wilson.
So, Scully, he wants to play for England.
My answer to that is the Burgess boys, Wormsley, Amore, Hill, Ubi, Graham.
Hang on. You said 2 weeks ago he's a potential Man of Steel candidate.
Well, he is.
Well, he's got to be in consideration.
He's Australian.
Then.
I've just told you the reason why he should be playing for England. I've just given you the seven names who before him. Simple as, no more debate. Simple as, Mr. Wilson.
He's Australian. Mr. McNamara will pick him then, won't he?
Well, as I said 2 weeks ago, we could pick them all. They've all got some sort of English or whatever in them, because we sent them over there 130 years ago. We could pick the lot of them.
Before we get taken off air, one man who is English and went to Australia and plays for England, Gareth Widdop, been linked with a move to Leeds. We'll pick Phil's brain on that in a moment. But here's Brian McDermott about that link.
Obviously, there's players moving on at the end of the season, frees up salary cap space, people in the game. 2-2 adds whatever it adds. You've been linked to Gareth Widdop this week. What's the story there?
That is it. It's a story, isn't it? It's a story. You know, sometimes those stories are true, and so then you'd say no comment. And then sometimes those stories aren't true, and what coaches go is go, no, there's nothing in that. So only time to say no comment is when it's true. So if I say no comment all the time, whether it's true or not, nobody ever gets a read.
Okay. Is he a player you'd like to have in your squad?
He's an outstanding player. He's an outstanding player and been playing in the NRL, and as you'd say, his tools are sharpened. So That's not to say it could kill it over here. I think there's been enough examples of players from the NRL coming over here and finding those little changes, those little subtle changes, a problem to start with. But no, he's a great player.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire
with Mark Wilson.
So, Phil Caplin, will Gareth Widdop be going to Leeds Rhinos?
No comment.
Hey, I like it. See what he did there?
Almost like it's been rehearsed.
Oh, I see what you did there.
See, if we try to judge the rumour on a scale of 2 to 9, where would it be?
Something interesting is happening about the marquee player. So in early June, the clubs will get together and the chairman or owners or chief executives will decide if they're going to bring in a ruling whereby a club will be able to sign a marquee player. Now, it doesn't mean that they can just go out and spend whatever they want on anybody. There'll be some stipulations and it'll be offset against other things. But let's assume that it gets voted in. I think some of the clubs that will be spending money, either money that they're saving from players who are leaving on a salary cap or money that they feel they have to invest to stay up with those who will be buying, have already earmarked some players. So St Helens have been linked with Sean Kenny-Dowell. I think there's a chance that they might get him as well. Wigan obviously will now be linked with Sam Tompkins. He's back on the market. Leeds are being linked with Gareth Widdop. I think there's something in all of these, because I think if the green light is if Salford are not going to be backward and coming forward to sign somebody, you know, might be Sam Burgess for all we know. But it's going to give them the power to be able to do that. Now, as a club, Leeds are losing at least two, probably three players who will be among the higher earners on the salary cap. They will have money to play with. If Gareth Widdop is available, then yes, they will be in for him. And I had a couple of people over the weekend when the rumour surfaced that said, well, it wouldn't be right, because what's the point of bringing through a Liam Sutcliffe and giving Danny Maguire more responsibility if you're then going to sign a Gareth Widdop? And I'd say it goes back to the great Liverpool football team, that when Kenny Dalglish came on the market, they didn't actually need a player in that position, but they weren't going to pass up the opportunity of signing a world-class player. You find a way of fitting them in, and if he is available and he wants to come home, even though today he said he probably doesn't, then yes, Leeds would be in for him because he fits the bill, not least from his goal kicking.
Like to see him at Leeds?
Without a doubt, quality player, no two ways about that. But you know, the responsibility Danny Maguire's taken on, I think he's having an excellent season. You know, Liam Sutcliffe, is he going to be put on the back burner again for, you know, maybe 12 months, 2 years? Because I think he's ready for it now and for mine. And I said it last week in my column, I think next season, once it's over, now I think he should be announced as a new captain, because he's going to fill Sinfield's boots from a point of view with responsibility with a kicking game. So I would make him the captain as from next season. So, you know, we got a quality player, there's no two ways about that. Would he fit into the lead system? Yes, he would. But as I say, Danny's enjoying that responsibility of the captaincy when Kevin's not been playing, enjoying the responsibility of the organisation. And again, Robbie Burrow, is that his days finished as a halfback? Would he be playing second fiddle as hooker to Paul Ayton? But yeah, when the quality comes on the market, then Leeds are going to be in for him.
They are indeed. They were at Salford yesterday, one of our live games. Phil, you were there, summarising on our behalf. They're 4 points clear at the top, Leeds.
More than that, because every minute matters, as we know, they're 7 points clear of fourth. And these points are being carried into the extra seven rounds, and you now need to finish in the top four. No, you know, again, if we're serious, that's a big gap. That is already a big gap, and potentially a worrying gap if you're serious about every minute mattering. The next three games, they've got to play St Helens, Warrington, Huddersfield, so that gap could quite easily be lessened. But to have only lost once, to have rotated the squad, I think the other thing that needs to be mentioned is yesterday Leeds had five internationals missing. They haven't made a big deal about their injuries, but they had three world-class backs not playing. Two wingers and Callum Watkins pulled out late, and they still managed to find a way of getting the points. It wasn't a great game, partly down to there was a ridiculous wind that really did affect it. But they were bringing in kids who are schooled at a higher level than the kids that Wakefield can bring in, and it showed. Ash Hanley has been absolutely consummate in the 4 weeks that he's played. Yet again, with Michael Dobson, obviously targeted him under the high ball, Hanley was fine. Ashton Golan didn't have a good game. Which is not to say he's an incredibly talented player. He is, he just struggled in that game. But again, he was out there and he was gaining much more experience. And as Michael Carter said, from having the likes of Zach Hardacre and Danny Maguire and Kevin Sinfield looking after him. And I think that's how you bring the next generation forward. For Leeds to be 7 points clear of fourth, which is the first benchmark, because you want to be in the top four. You need to be in the top four, I think, come 23 rounds. And having rotated their squad and losing some key line players, and some of them now, I think Luluai has already said he's going to be out for at least another 6 weeks. Ryan Hall's out for a month. Tom Briscoe's out for 3 months. You know, they are doing an exceptional job covering for these injuries, and they're not making a big deal.
So we're both Leedsmen as well then, Phil. Who would you pick as captain after
Danny
the Sinfield?
Maguire.
Danny Maguire?
For the next 2 years, I'd make Danny the captain. He's thriving on the added responsibility. Mm. And yet again, yesterday, he actually ran the game. Although he might not have been the best player on the field, he absolutely ran the game. When he needed to take the ball in, when they needed a kick, when he needed to push somebody to one side, he isn't going to score the tries that he used to. He was caught by Theo Farge yesterday. It was another interception, and he picked the ball up, went down the touchline, and Theo Farge got him. I mean, they were running into a ridiculous headwind, but he played it brilliantly. He took the tackle and set up for the play that scored on the back of it. And I just think, again, give Danny the added responsibility for 2 years and he'll be an even better player.
And also, we're just looking at, and I say, mentioning the three players who are going to be retiring. Obviously, Sinfield, Peacock, and looking at Luluai. Robbie Birrow, could he be on his way? Is he happy that he's not getting the game time that he strives for? Because obviously, when it comes on the pitch, he turns a game. But will Robbie be happy playing second fiddle?
Absolutely not happy, but the key is in the second part of what you said. He can still win a game in 20 minutes.
No surprise about that.
Why wouldn't? Yeah, I can see why he would rather start every game and play 80 minutes. But if he can still change a game in 25 minutes and come on and win trophies, I still think he's better off where he is.
Okay, no Rangy Chase for Salford Scoy. I know you've been itching to mention this. I'm surprised it has been so long. He's banned for, well, a cannonball tackle in effect on Brett Ferris. What do you make of that?
Not enough. Simple as that.
Seven games. Not enough.
Not enough. I'd say Ferris is what he's out for 3 to 4 months. But as I've mentioned on the show numerous occasions, this tackle needs outlawing. It's as simple as that. And the coaches need to get together, the RFL need to get them all there and say, listen, if this happens again, then a player is getting suspended for 12 months. It's as simple as that. And then whoever coaches and encouraging this, or whichever player does it, that coach himself gets heavily fined. There is no place in the game for the cannonball tackle, and I'm sick and tired of saying it. Somebody career will end, and it was cowardice.
Well, Ferris was lucky because very his lucky ankle, yeah, didn't get caught. If his ankle was planted, very, very, he would have been
very, very lucky, you know. And Rangy Chase is very lucky. He's only got 7 games. You know, Ferris is out for 3 or 4 months. But as I say, this needs ending, and quite clearly. And if anybody does it now until the end of the season, they get 12 months. It's a simple. Because I tell you what, if somebody did that in the street, if somebody said on a Friday or Saturday night, and there's 3 blokes holding one bloke, and then somebody went down there and broke somebody's leg, they would be done for assault. It's ridiculous. It's not part and spirit of the game of rugby league.
I'm not saying what Ben Flower did in the grand final was right, because obviously it wasn't. But, you know, what he did and what Rangy Chase did are completely
different. It was a moment of madness, that. Yeah, that's all that was.
The ramifications of both,
yeah,
it just seems incongruous, the bans. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. From what Ben Flowers, you know, vilified in the press, in the media and everything, and Rangy Chase has gone under the radar.
Well, he would have done, but I'd like to play credit to Brian McDermott, who absolutely came out and said it was an act of gross cowardice in the week that his team were playing Salford. There aren't too many coaches that would have done that. He may have said it after the game or the week after, but I think it showed typical Brian McDermott grit to actually say, I'm going to Salford, and I don't care if this motivates the Salford team, but what he did was disgraceful. And to put that on record, I thought, was quite ballsy and was exactly the right thing to say.
Weren't you disappointed over yesterday Alice's comments by saying, well, there wasn't anything in it, and I didn't think it was any malicious or harm in it? Well, that's Brett Ferris. He's out for 3 to 4 months. Mm. You know, he's lost one of his quality players as Coach Anderson. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it needs finishing and it needs ending. Simple as that.
Yeah, that was trying to defend the indefensible.
It was. Well, Scoy, you said 12 months. Phil, what do the RFL do about it? Because we've had Craig Harrison on this show banging on about this matter. Danny Maguire came in. The players don't like it. Their agents don't like it. The commentators don't like it. The pundits don't like it. The fans don't like it. Why is it not being changed?
Because it partly goes back to what we've said last year. I don't agree with the grading of offences. you know, before he's even been charged, we know he's getting between 4 and 8 games. I just think that absolves responsibility. You judge every case on his merits. And if he comes up and there is an angle that we haven't fully seen that shows it in all its horrible goriness and the trauma that Brett Ferris suffered, you can actually see happening as the tackle is being made, then I think the disciplinary committee shouldn't be hampered by saying the maximum they can give is 8 games.
Shouldn't there just be a minimum?
Yeah, no, they should be able to say, we will judge this on its merits, we've looked at the case, we've looked, it was premeditated, we've looked at the injury suffered by the person concerned, we can give a 12-month ban if we want.
See, also,
but at the moment, they're hampered. Yeah.
You see, there's been a lot of it. We it started with, you know, with Michael Maguire, and it was awful when, you know, it's first brought in, and everyone said, what's going on? Yeah, that's absolutely shocking and awful. But also, as well, referees, they've not even sent anybody off for it, have they? You know, they say, well, I haven't seen it, or it was on the blind side, and this sort of thing. He can clearly see it, even us as pundit and commentators. We could see it, what, 50, 60, 70 yards away. The referee was in a great position to see, because Rangatier came from behind, and the referee was only about, what, 3 or 4 yards away.
And he put it on report. And
you know, it's absolutely cowardice again from the officials.
Well, let us know what you think. At RL on RY, a few tweets coming in tonight, Rich.
Yeah, Lily thinks it should be an ice bath, so Mark will be happy with that one. Generally, yeah, you know, Richard says, love the Rhino's death, and while no doubt some of the young ones have stepped up, he doesn't say much to the rest of Super League that they're so clear. Little concertina effect or whatever. And Michael, not a fan of Rangy Chase, it's fair to say. So,
The way that Michael Carter was talking and saying about Friday night's game, Mark Wilson, you're doing the forfeit. These Wakefield players are going to... Just sounded by the chairman, I don't know what the Wakefield players are thinking.
Halifax, who absolutely thrashed working, and 38-6 at the weekend. I'm going to have a word with Poskett and make sure they're all fit and ready to go.
My All-Stars team could beat Workington. Say no more.
Radio Yorkshire, your home of Rugby League on DAB. Online via the TuneIn app.